Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nosey.
I am John Weber, also known as MTG Peddler.
And we have a special guest all the way from Houston, Texas, DZ.
Hey, everybody, you might know me as the floating face on Twitch or the MTG TikTok King or the Meme King or the Lime Green Pepper Bandit.
Man known by many names. I like it.
So how are we doing today?
I'm doing all right, man.
Fabulous.
Peddler, you want to go ahead and start us off with card of the week?
Yeah, we're going for card of the week. And this week is going to be Dranith Magistrate is this week's card of the week. It is a one generic, one white casting cost, human wizard, rare. Your opponents cannot cast spells from anywhere other than their hands, sitting on a 1/3 body. Now, the reason I picked this one out for card of the week this week is because I think this is very, very relevant with Kaldheim coming out. Because this card shuts down Foretell. It shuts down a lot of the fun mechanics in the game, actually, that's currently in standard. I mean, it shuts down Escape, shuts down Foretell. I think that's really, really interesting. I wonder how many Foretell hate decks we're going to be seeing in standard when Kaldheim comes out. What do you guys think?
You know, this is pretty interesting. I haven't thought about stopping the Foretell. I know it was pretty good when the Adventures deck was taking over because it also stops the creatures on Adventure. So, not only does it do the Escape, the Adventure, but yeah, the Foretell, I think its stock is going to be rising pretty quickly here.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm going all no holds barred with the Foretell. So that's going to hurt me.
Oh man, yeah. I mean, because a lot of the Foretell spells. I mean, you have the sweeper, you have the counter spell. I mean, you don't really. I mean, the whole point is to leverage the Foretell cost reduction. So, I think that's pretty relevant. You should see a lot of stomps. You're going to see a lot of the basic good cards. So, I mean, the three toughness also should help it stay around for a while.
That's a very good opinion.
There's also cards in Kaldheim also that benefit from having cards in Foretell. So if you're running that style of deck where it's like that, there's that one guy that gets like +1/+1 for each card that's foretold plus cards in your hand. So this would be a really good way to shut that guy down.
Absolutely, it would be. And again, I'm going to go no holds barred with it.
I know what I'm running against, John. That's all I heard.
Yeah. And plus it's a wizard. You got to love the wizards.
Yeah. So it has a tribal in it too. There's definitely a lot of wizards out there.
Oh, yeah. It goes with the whole party mechanic, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Real quick, I'm going to read the flavor text on this card. Our sanctuaries must be beacons of reason and calm, or else they will fall. Sure, man, if you say so.
He kind of looks like Jonathan Frakes from Star Trek.
He's the evil wizard goatee. Anybody who looks up the card, yeah, he definitely has a evil goatee, evil twin. I'm getting an evil twin vibe.
It's definitely something going on there.
Yeah, I think it's the Just for Men. It looks like he's using Just for Men on the beard. It throws him off. Looks like a washed up Vegas lounge act.
Yeah. It looks like he missed it. You think he's keeping the salt and pepper on the sides? Just be like, yeah, you know, chicks dig a little salt and pepper.
I think it might actually be fake.
Great art. Okay, let's go over to Movers and Shakers this week. We do have some. Well, let me just redo that here. We want to start off with Rings of Brighthearth, $6 even. It's record low, bottoming out. Brazen Borrower, $12.06, record low and trending down. Engineered Explosives, $3.24. It used to be $100.
That is insane. I remember just debating like getting rid of mine because it saw so little play. It was in my sideboard in a modern deck. And I was just like, I should just turn this into Legacy reserve list something. Oh man, I really wish I would have. It could have been a scrub land, you know, it could have been a bad land.
Yeah. Maybe.
Like if, I don't know about bad, no, land, but it could have been a scrub land savanna or something.
Even the dual lands are going nuts too. So we probably, it'd be like a third of a scrub land.
Oh, that's interesting. Brazen Borrowers at its pretty much low. I mean, it was one of the most played cards for a while, and it was up there. I mean, it spiked above 30 for a while. I see it just going nowhere but down long term.
Yeah, I sold a copy at $28, and it's still going down. I mean, The next card, though, on the list is up 200%. And I'm going to start there with that because I sold one 2 days ago. And I saw a trend of it going up, but I didn't see this spike. $89.99, Brain Geyser.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
EDH, you think?
I do think this one's EDH. A couple cards ahead of us is a different subject altogether, but that in particular card I do believe is EDH. Wheel of Fortune, $919.50, up 205%.
I'm going to go buy a playset right now.
I may or may not be sitting on a unlimited copy.
Mm-hmm. A friend of mine just told me the other day, he said, I got to share this with you. I'm like, what? And he's like, I just don't want to tell anybody, but I'll tell you. What? I got a Wheel of Fortune in the safe. I'm like, oh my goodness. High five, buddy. Memory Jar, $119.99, which is up 233%. Bubble Matrix, $19.99, which is up 243%. Ice Cauldron, $17.47, which is up 1,065%.
That's okay. Nuts.
Now, earlier you asked if it was Commander. Now, this one I'm getting ready to talk about because we've only got three more cards after this, okay? This one's a reserved card. Fork, $155. It's up 371%.
Yeah, Revised is just absolutely booming right now. Everyone's been saying for 2 decades, it's, you know, printed to oblivion. You're never going to run out of Revised. Guess what? We're running out of Revised.
But for the last week, though, you're on something here, man. There's been a spike in Revised cards this last week. It's just unheard of.
Oh, it's insane. I have an Underground C that I picked up for, I think, just under 600 near mint. And that same card, if I bought it today, I think it's sitting at 1,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somewhere around there. I'm probably off a little bit. I don't have the actual raw numbers in front of me, but it's up there.
I was offered a deal for $280 for one. So I should have stacked up. I said no. It was a hard no.
Yeah, it looks like there might be a little bit of arbitrage with this Revised and Unlimited. A lot of times when you see a card spike, you can catch the foil before it spikes, and you might be able to do that with some of these Unlimited and Revised cards. It looks like the Fork really isn't even that much more expensive and limited. And the supply is, what is it, roughly 10-20%?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, wow, yeah. I would have to look that up, but that's actually spot on.
MTG Goldfish actually has Revised as $5 more. And I know, you know, you could probably find, it probably changes pretty quickly, and you can catch some for under 150. But right now you can maybe make some moves in Unlimited playables.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
I've been going through.
I would take an Unlimited over Revised any day of the week.
Oh yeah. I mean, they look better. They're more rare. It's just better across the board.
It's a win-win.
Something about Revised goes right in my heart, though. It's kind of like the set I started with, I think it was.
Yeah, me too. Me too, basically.
I'm not sure. It was late 93. We were playing with beta. I know that because there was that Iron Man format going on. And I know we were stupid, but I mean, I think Revised came, it was the third one, wasn't it?
No, fourth, because it's alpha beta, Unlimited, then Revised.
So you're right, Unlimited is what's in my heart. Okay, so that makes more sense. That makes more sense. Number two this week is Whim of Volrath, $24.40, which is up 310%. And last but not least, the number one card of this week, movers and shakers wise, Oppression, $47.97, which is up 335%.
Things are just going nuts. It looks like it's been printed a handful of times. Yeah. Whenever a player plays a spell, that player discards a card from his or her hand. Mm-hmm.
I think it's got a lot to do with this Kaldheim spoilers that came out.
Yeah, people want to try the new cards, you know, and I mean, something like 7th edition, Urza Saga, there's just not going to be that much copies. So you get a lot of Timmies out there wanting to brew, and Sublime Demand Economics takes over yet again.
Speaking of yet again, this week's top decks of the week, are not any different from last week or the week before. But Peddler, you brought up a good point earlier.
Oh yeah, with Kaldheim coming out next week is pre-release. I believe next week we're gonna have a lot more to talk about when it comes to top decks.
Yeah, I cannot wait personally for top decks to change.
And then there's gonna be that one guy who brings the mono red from last season and doesn't change anything, and then he wins.
Yeah,
there's always that guy.
Yeah, what's his name did that to you recently? The guy from Manfield, Seth Manfield.
Yeah, Seth Manfield.
Seth Manfield. I couldn't believe he did that, man. He ran in there with mono red.
Yeah, it's interesting when you see these pros, because I mean, you just are conditioned to think like, oh, they're going to play the best mid range or the best control deck, and then just see him come in and spike with some mountains is always a funny feeling.
You know what? That's a good thing too. It jogged a little memory. We've got some pro players coming on the podcast soon.
I'm already
nice,
here.
Nice.
It's good news.
Hey, I got 8 wins in the historic challenge today. Are you talking about me?
Well, you know, I can't put any names out there yet, but I will say that we finally have some pro players that are willing to come on the podcast. And, you know, this is a good thing, man. I love how it's moving along.
Definitely big news. It's great.
I do want to go over to Magic the Gathering Arena updates real quick before we get into our next segment. We have January 15th through January 28th, Cube Draft. That is still going on.
People love some Cube.
Oh, I love Cube. I have a Cube myself. Peddler, have you ever tried it yet?
I have not. I my arena experience is very, very, very limited.
Well, I know you're a limited player. And this
I am a limited. I meant limited in the sense that I don't do it much. But yes, I am a limited player.
This is the limited format of limited formats, man.
This is true. I'm well aware of what a cube is. I've just never played it.
On January 23rd to tomorrow, January 24th, we have Historic Challenge. Friday night at home, Kaldheim. January 29th. Cannot wait for that. And then Friday.
Oh, Lord, it's coming.
What time? 12 a.m. That's right, 12 a.m. Friday Night Magic at Home is Artisan on February the 5th. And that's this week's news from Magic the Gathering Arena.
Yeah, if you're actually doing that historic event, I wasn't kidding. I actually did get 8 wins. So if you want to check out my Twitter, DZMTG, you can steal my deck list and maybe get 8 wins. It's 10,000 gold and I won 40 packs.
Woo.
So it's pretty, and the 10,000 gold back. Maybe even 20. I can't. I think maybe at 15. So yeah, I got 15,000 and 40 packs. 40 packs. I mean, it really helps when you got that new set just right around the corner. You need some more gold rares. You need some more mythic rares. Farm you an event if you can. I will say this, the competition was basically FNM level. So,
oh wow.
Come prepared. You're going to, you should do pretty good. It was way easier than the more expensive weekend qualifiers. It felt
like Arena Open or whatever.
Yeah, it's way easier than the Open. And it felt like about gold level. A lot of the time.
Yeah.
Still sounds like I'd go 1-7. That's all I heard.
Yeah. I went what? 1-7 on that Arena Open, you know, and I got it on YouTube too. The Cryptic Commander on YouTube. It was horrible, but the Simic deck, you know what I'm talking about, man. You know, Luis Scott Vargas was using that Simic deck. That it tore me up, man. Everybody was using it.
Is it the Karn combo?
I didn't get that far in the game to find out, but turn 3, you know.
He saw turn 2 and there was a forest and an island on board. He's like, scoop. Next.
Simic busted. Next.
I'll make you a deal, man. We can email each other here, but I'll just go to the Cryptic Commander and just type in arena. It'll come up. You'll see. It was bad. Now we want to go over to segment 5. Which is Ultimate Lair, Secret Lair Ultimate Edition 2. We touched base a couple podcasts back about it being the Pathway Lands.
And the Pathways look really, really good. At a certain point, though, I mean, we are inundated with, it's a lot of them, but I mean, they look beautiful. They look beautiful. Just not as good as a Shock Land, unfortunately.
Oh, I know. I don't know what the price of these things are going to be, but I know I'm only going to be able to get one if I get any at all, you know. They also said that they're going to have alternating artwork. Right, Peddler?
Yeah, it's very, very cool. So all of the six pathways that we had in Zendikar Rising, the art is going to be in a Kaldheim theme, and the four Kaldheim pathways will be in a Zendikar Rising art stylist. So it's definitely really cool how they're doing it. They are beautiful cards. I won't be purchasing them, but they are beautiful.
For a guy that collects every land card?
sir, every basic land.
Oh.
Big difference. Pathway is not a basic.
You got it. You got me. You got me.
Yeah, DZ, I'm nuts. I'm collecting every single basic land ever printed.
Foil and non-foil?
Nope. Only foil. Only non-foil. Only non-foil. And I'm talking every single one. I just on my YouTube channel, I just opened up the Eurolands this past week, and I just got my APAC lands in from Japan. And we're talking summer lands, we're talking guru lands, we're talking everything.
Oh, the gurus, nice.
Mm-hmm. If it's a basic, I am going to have it.
All right, you have to show me. You have the maybe you don't want to say. I would understand. You have the Beta Volcanic.
Nope.
Soon.
No, I do not.
Soon.
But again, that's not a basic.
Oh, touche. Touche. Yeah, right. Do you have the basics? Yeah. You have the basic lands though, and beta.
Yes, I do have a complete set of. I am missing both mountains, oddly enough, in alpha. So I'm scouring for them. I'll buy them when I find the right one.
I'm
very selective because hey, it's my collection.
So yeah, you have a little treasure hunt there. I mean, you have the Guru Island, so I mean, it's got to be a lot cheaper than that.
Basically, everything is cheaper than the Guru Island.
Yeah, it's all downhill now.
Yeah.
And speaking of the Secret Lair Ultimate Edition 2, it's going to be a WPN exclusive. So just like last time, we can go help our local game stores.
Yeah, and that's good. I mean, with this shutdown and everything, I know it's got to be really tough because a lot of places, they made a lot of their profit margins off the drinks and the chips from the Friday night magics or the Saturday afternoon and Monday night, whatever it may be. And yeah, go support your LGS.
Yeah,
definitely. It's always important. Small business is such a hard animal to be in and of itself, let alone with what's going on in the world. You know what I mean? So if and when you can support any small business, and I would like to include that outside of the magic realm. You know what I mean? Go to a mom and pop restaurant when you can, when it's safe. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do.
Order from a mom and pop.
I live in a rural area. I mean, really, really rural. Everywhere I go is a mom and pop.
I'm the opposite. I have everything here is chain.
Yeah. So DZ, for anybody who's listening right now that's never heard of you, how would they find you?
So if you haven't seen me on Twitch, you can catch me Twitch DZ MTG. I stream 6 days a week, starting noon Eastern. So you can catch me basically every afternoon. You can also catch my TikTok. If you got TikTok, I am the capital THE TikTok king for MTG content. I try to put out pretty regularly a few hundred videos. So you can catch those. Also put out regular YouTube content. Again, just DZ MTG. And if you want to expect in my channel, I try to play a different deck. You won't see me playing the same deck 2 days in a row. And I try to play it at a high level. I can hit top 1200 80% of the time. Maybe every now and then we might jank our way out into the percentages. But you can catch me in Mythic pretty much most of the month. And try to play meme decks as competitively as possible and bring a little bit of humor to the whole situation. And mostly though, you probably know me from TikTok. That's probably my biggest platform. So you can only see me in those little 15 second clips. So I'm glad you're listening here now.
Now, are you dancing while you're playing? Is that like isn't that like the primary function of TikTok? I'm an old hat, so I don't know what TikTok
it's okay, paper boomer. You won't catch me. You won't catch me dancing. I try to bring the trendy sounds though. So there's hundreds of them. They're all over the place. If I just look at my last one, the last one was the hardship felt when you got a really good blue-black deck growing and limited, and then pack three, it's a busted mythic, not in your colors. And then the punchline at the end is, guess I'm three colors now. Just little things on Magic, basically.
Nice. That sounds awesome.
On this next segment, I wanted to talk about the MPL that happened last weekend, but I don't know how to explain this except for going right to the source and reading from like a Wizards website to explain to the listeners what this is.
And yeah, for those who don't know, it's, you know, they keep changing. I don't want to say they keep changing. They've changed the competitive format a little since they had to do everything remotely. So it's MPL League, and then you have the Rivals League, and you work your way up with the old point system, and you work your way up from Rival to MPL, and then that's how you gain entry into the, is it quarterly tournaments? I think they're quarterly. And
they changed that too. So basically on the wiki, they just say right here that they had original plans, and then it goes down here to what the plans are now. Hold on. I can probably click right here. Ah, okay. So I can look at the 2021 one. Hold on. It does look like, okay, it does look like it is quarterly. Okay, it's quarterly. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, and they just have a point system. They play in a weekend series building up to the tournaments, and with the more wins you get, the more points you get, and it kind of replaces the old system of grinding the opens and the GPs and everything else.
Right. I think that there was the third category. Wasn't it challengers there too, or no?
MPL Rivals. Is there something below Rivals?
I think it's non-rival is what they're calling it.
Well, it says right here on the Wikipedia that it's challengers from the Challenger Gauntlet. So I knew there was a third one. I just don't remember what it was called. And that would make sense if they changed it, you know, since they first announced it. And then what I'm reading here, the top four MPL players, and then you got the top four Rivals League players. And then you have the top two from the MPL Gauntlet, the winner of the Rivals Gauntlet, and then the four challengers from the Challenger Gauntlet.
Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong. The challengers from the Challenger Gauntlet. Yeah, that's, and you, I want to say you qualify for those with the arena opens.
Correct.
And yeah, that's how you get your little slot. And then next thing you know, you might be sitting across from Seth Manfield or Gabriel Nassif.
Right. And that's actually a reality. You know, it's not like we want to give false hopes to anybody or paint a picture that's not there, but you could be sitting next to Seth Mansfield or Autumn, you know?
Hey, no, someone's got to be a pro. Why not you?
I will say this about Arena. If you hit Mythic within the first 72 hours, a high percentage of your matchups are against these MPL and Rival players because, you know, they play a lot of Arena and a lot of them do grind the rank. And, I mean, I've played against Seth Manfield, Brad Nelson, Nassif, all the main people. I just played Yuza. I played Martin Yuza this week, and there's another pro. It wasn't a yellow hat. Raphael Levy, maybe. Oh, Cuno. Yeah, I played Cuno and Martin Yuza recently. So, I mean, it's pretty amazing that you can play against these people. You know, just even randomly, it's a good feeling. It's fun.
Oh man, this is just today I was playing against You Suck at Magic 420. and I got destroyed.
So they were right then.
Yes, yeah, they were right.
That time.
Every time.
Last time I looked, Paulo Vitor Damo da Rosa, if I'm saying that wrong, I apologize, was in first place currently, because that's still going on.
Yeah, he took it down. He did, I want to say, 10-1 with his gruel list this past weekend. He crushed it.
Yeah, and Luis Scott Vargas went down a couple slots, but that should be fine because we're not even halfway through it yet.
Yeah, there's plenty of time. If you look, I mean, PVDDR is first place with, 28 points, and second place is 27 right there. That's yellow hat, Gabriel Nassif.
Two of them tied for 27, yeah.
Yeah, so you can climb pretty easily, I think. You just spike a couple tournaments, and I mean, you're probably in the contender range.
What I did hear was, I'm not sure if this is confirmed, but again, it's just hearsay from one person's mouth to mine, to my ears, is the people that are in the top five of the MPL are guaranteed to stay in the MPL, and the rest are subject to going to Rivals. Is that true?
I believe it is as a recent change, if I'm not mistaken. And it definitely, it could take that pressure off because I know a lot of them are sweating it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to perform, and it's the world's best players. So, I mean, you just got to bring it and then bring it and then bring it again.
I'm glad to see Luis is still there, man. Now.
Yeah, he's great. I love, did you watch any of his cube this past couple weeks?
Yeah, I did. I'm subscribed to his Twitch, yeah.
Yeah, it's always great getting to watch him do some vintage cube.
You know what really surprises me is he actually looks to the viewers just like a lot of streamers, but he looks to the viewers and he's like, "Help me out, guys, and what do you think?" And you know, I'm sitting there, I'm like, "Pick this card," and he picked it. I was like, "What?"
Did I just say I scream, "Grab the red card, grab the lightning bolt,
grab the red card." You can't go wrong.
It's like, but there's a Black Lotus, Mick. Grab the lightning bolt.
They don't call it red deck wins for nothing.
It's Black Lotus, not Red Lotus.
Speaking of Black Lotus, on page 8, we've got the PSA Alpha Black Lotus, signed by Christopher Rush, is being auctioned off on eBay. If you go to
eBay. For the record, I am currently the high bidder, so I'd really appreciate it if no one else bidded on this card.
Mm-hmm. And what did you bid on that? What was your bid?
Current bid is $310,000, $310,500.
Yeah.
Just you know, almost a third of a million is all.
It's $250 in shipping. That's what they get you in the shipping.
it's that fine print, man.
Let me put this out there on blast, okay? So a few days ago, I always monitor Magic the Gathering news since we're in the realm, you know. Long story short, I listen to podcasts, watch YouTube, read articles. Hey, if the newspaper's got something about Magic, I'm reading it, okay? And they did an article, or they did some, I heard or watched or whatever, that the PSA Black Lotus is up to $750,000, okay? And maybe it was $710,000. I think it was $710,000. So when today I did my work, I'm seeing that it's $350,000, you know? And I'm like, wait, let me go back and see if I misread or if I'm just, maybe that was a dream or something, you know? And no, it actually did happen. So if you guys aren't aware, there was a person who put a big bid in for $710,000. There was actually a few more people who did bids, like $500,000 and stuff like that. But they had to take those last three bids down because they couldn't verify that person's ID and or bank account.
Oh, yeah, they're vetting this. I mean, we're talking big boy money right now. You know what I mean? You're not going to joke bid and go to $310,501 on this card. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, they're vetting out. eBay wants to definitely compete against a Sotheby's or another auction house. So they have to, they're going to have to put in the due diligence to make sure this doesn't end up a scam.
Of course, they want their 12%.
You know, you're saying the shipping, that's how they get you. You know, you earn $100 in eBay bucks if you buy it. You're instantly getting paid. I mean, it's silly not to bid, honestly.
I can almost buy a Wheel of Fortune.
There you go. I mean, you get the Black Lotus, a free Wheel of Fortune. That is insane that it's a third of a million. And you know, you want to know my hot take? It's actually underpriced right now.
Oh, it's extremely underpriced for a PSA 10. I think it said it's one of seven that exist in the world. It is. It says it right here on eBay. PSA population, one of seven.
Oh, yeah. No, that's for a fact. I got a footnote here. There's only seven in the world that exist. Yeah.
Yeah. This,
and there's four days left to bid on this, by the way.
Yes.
If I was a tech multimillionaire and there's hundreds of billionaires. So there's what, thousands? There's probably thousands of multimillionaires, thousands of them. Yes. I would buy this in a heartbeat.
Oh, probably tens of thousands. There's serious money out there. There is some serious money out there.
And yeah, if I was an early Facebook engineer, I mean, this would be on my radar.
I mean, but absolutely play Magic.
Yeah. I mean, if you think of the Venn diagram of, let's say the buyer is going to be at least mid-30s, mid-40s. You know, if you do the Venn diagram of a computer engineer in their 40s and then Magic the Gathering, they probably overlap somewhat, you know?
I would say they overlap a lot.
It's the same circle.
Yeah.
Page 9, Channel Fireball has teamed up with I hope I don't say this right, Binder POS. So what they're doing is, it's a point of sale system software company that Channel Fireball can take their singles and put it on multiple platforms like Amazon and eBay, but it's the same single, if I'm making sense to you.
So my old LGS actually did that. They had a Amazon store that also worked with their Crystal Commerce. And yeah, if you bought it, and you know, they had the computer terminals inside the store, or you could use your phone. And if you bought it off of Amazon, it would disappear from their inventory. So yeah, I mean, that's a good thing for Channel Fireball. They're branching out.
Yeah. I only want to read off two very, very small paragraphs because I don't have all day to read this to everybody. Online retailer and community site, channelfireball.com, parent Superstars of Sports Incorporated and game store point of sale software company Binder POS are merging. The company's announced and plan to launch an online collectibles marketplace in Q2 2021. The new company will be called CFB Group and headquartered in Henderson, Nevada at the Superstars of Sports headquarters. Top management will be Binder's POS CEO, Joshua Grant, who will be Channel Fireball Group CEO, and Superstars of Sports CEO, John Sasso, who will be what sounds like a very active Channel Fireball Group chairman.
I mean, anything that's going to maximize exposure to more people is a good thing.
Yeah. I like the sound of it. I'm curious to see where this goes. This could be either a trend or the future.
No, I think a lot of it is the soaring cost of the collectible market, of the super rare cards. And I mean, real institutional money, real institutions, they're starting to notice. This Black Lotus just kind of brings it all together. You know, there's a lot of money in the reserve list.
And I saw a machine, some guy was asking around, what should I charge people to rent this, where it sorts cards and scans them and tells you the condition of the card. And it's like, whoa, the condition of the card, you know,
that's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, again, is this going to be a trend or is this going to be the wave of the future?
Or is this going to be the beginning of Skynet?
Did Skynet happen a long time ago? So, this would have been the end of today's show, except for on the last podcast, I brought up what we need to do is we need to have a beginner's corner. So this being the first time we bring beginner's corner segment to the show. If I sit somebody down to teach them how to play Magic the Gathering, my thought process is this. I'm going to tell you, there's only two types of cards in this game, a land card and a spell card. So that I do not overwhelm that person that I'm teaching. Now, with that being said, Peddler, what do you think you would tell somebody that's just starting out the very first thing?
See, I'm the opposite of John. I am going to overwhelm you. I tend to have that effect. I would pull up probably one of the more simpler cards with, you know, mechanics and stuff like that. And I'm going to use just a card I have in front of me right here. It's a Kaldheim's Story Seeker. It's a common, it's a creature. And I would just explain to him, like, you know, I would start in the top right corner. This is the casting cost. So, you know, as John said, with the lands, you need one land that makes white mana, one land that makes any color mana. And then you can cast this card. And then on the very bottom, you have your power and your toughness. Your power is when you attack, it deals this much damage to anything that blocks or the opponent. And then you have your toughness, which is how much damage it can take before it dies. And then I would just explain the text box. And this is a very, very simple text box, which is just lifelink. So whenever it deals damage, you gain that much life. Very, very simple card to understand. So I would start with a very simple card. DZ, what do you think?
See, at first, when you're saying overwhelm, I thought you were just going to go straight into what banding is. I was getting worried. I was like, man, I've been playing for more than a decade, and I'm already sweating over here. Yeah. I actually like the two types of cards, lands and spells. That definitely makes a lot of sense. I remember in 95, a buddy was trying to tell me, and I remember just having a disconnect between, he kept saying mana, you have your mana cards, but the card said land. And I just remember like being frustrated. I was like, well, why doesn't it say mana? And this was, you know, back then, or you just might have a forest symbol or whatever. So just not seeing mana on the card is always kind of tilted me.
It had the letter T.
Yeah. And so the way I would approach it, this is how I kind of explained it. But I really like your land and spells. There's two types. That's a really good breakdown. The way I always did it, though, is I always said, you and your opponent, you're two wizards, and you're casting spells to kill the other. And all you have to do is just read the card. And then, you know, the next thing I might say is, you're both at 20 life. I'm trying to kill you by either I throw lightning bolts at your faces, you know, 3 damage at a time, or I might summon a creature as a wizard would. Haha, here's a rock golem, or here's a elemental fire creature. And then I will, basically, we're two wizards, we're trying to kill each other, read the card, it tells you what to do. But the lands and spells thing, that's pretty compelling. I think I'm gonna have to steal your idea henceforth.
I like that when you include that the card tells you exactly what it does. That's what I tell everyone. It does no more and none less. It does exactly what the card says.
But it just says banding. It doesn't say.
Oh, that just means that when you're
this
when
is you're rampage four.
What's annihilator?
Is that the attacking player gets the assigned combat damage, not the defender player? That's what banding is. It's very easy. It's very very easy.
No, I know. It's a meme at this point. But the cards always just kind of tell you what they do.
I really appreciate that you like that idea, DZ. And I want to say that I like the fact that you brought to the table that we're two wizards and we start at 20 life and, you know, we can cast spells or even summon creatures. I like that touch, you know, because that's like right out of the handbook.
Yeah, and it kind of paints a picture in the person's head. Me and you are two wizards and we're casting spells to kill each other. And, you know, kind of maybe do a little hand flourish, David Copperfield style, you know, or Chris Angel. And then, you know, then they can kind of picture like, oh, okay, he's going to have a fireball come out of his hand, or strange mist is going to destroy my creatures.
See, you said David Copperfield and I'm thinking you're going to make the refrigerator disappear.
You know, I actually saw him live, and he made a motorcycle disappear right in front of me, and I don't know how he did it.
I know, man.
All I heard from this is I'm a lousy teacher.
Well, guys, that's going to do it for today's show. But I do want to bring up the fact that DZ did say that, you know, don't forget, we've got the 28th is 5 days away?
5 days away, and we get to play with the new cards.
I can't wait. I was ready last week.
It's coming fast.
Yeah, there's gods. We got some more gods. We got we got the nice legendary land, the world.
Oh, sagas.
The non-legendary. We have the non-legendary land that has the in the title.
We have a lot of Bernie Sanders memes going around, but none with Kaldheim in the background, right?
Yeah, we need to make some someone put some horns on his winter hat.
Yeah, somebody listening out here that knows how to make memes. We need a Kaldheim Bernie meme.
Yeah, I made one, but geez, I dropped the ball on that, didn't I?
Well, man, I really appreciate you coming on today's show, DZ.
It was a blast.
Thanks, man. Thanks. And check us out over on Facebook, the Cryptic Commander Facebook group, over on YouTube, called the Cryptic Commander. And we are giving away a playmat. All you have to do is go over to YouTube on the Cryptic Commander on our last video, which we have not made any videos until we give away this playmat. So that's on hold until we actually give away this playmat, because we did this without thinking. So to enter to win the playmat, just go over to that video. You can simply say, I'm here for the playmat, or, you know, tell us what you think. Give us some feedback. That's what we're doing as far as some free feedback. And over on the Cryptic Commander Facebook group, we're giving away a Cryptic Commander dice bag. So if you want a chance to win, go over, enter. I hope you do win. But until next time, keep spell slinging.